Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, just as I think all the news sources are covering this margin calls and the block trades that happened all at the tail end of last week, a lot of focus being on Archegos Capital and some of those massive margin calls that led to about $20 billion worth of stocks being liquidated. We saw a lot of Chinese tech stocks got hit, but we also saw Viacom, CBS, also Discovery getting hit. There were some other large institutions that were also issuing some pretty big block and chunk trades out there. This could all very much be just month-end and quarter-end window dressing, but Ed, what's the big picture here about Archegos and some of these margin calls that really caught a lot of the market off guard last week?
Yeah, and I think it's a fascinating development because, you know, prior to that, for many traders, those were some of the favorite trades that were brewing. People wanted exposure to China. People wanted to continue to jump on that U.S. media. It seemed that everyone was becoming very high and confident that these new media channels, Viacom, CBS, and Discovery were going to provide some strong opportunities here. And I think what happened was this liquidation, I think it just really exemplifies one of the big problems that I think a lot of this rally was built on, was just how much leverage was put behind the V-shaped move. And I think what we saw was that investors, you know, were really kind of stunned that you had this one hedge fund be able to be responsible for such a move that has really drawn, I think, lots of comparisons to one of the problems that we saw with the GameStop phenomenon, with Melvin Capital overly having their short positions and just completely, you know, leveraged to the max. And I think that what we're starting to see is that there is concern that too many of these hedge funds are overly positioned. And what we noticed was that some of the prime brokerages were able to handle, you know, this massive liquidation. Goldman Sachs was successful. Morgan Stanley, it seems like they were too. They noticed that, you know, they were not going to see a significant impact. Whereas Nomura and Credit Suisse, they were unfortunate to slow to react and had to announce that they were going to have a big material impact there. And I think that is one of the things that is going to resonate on Wall Street. I think, this was, for some, they were saying this is a once in a decade type event. But I think everyone knows that, you know, I think a lot of this, you know, late run up in stocks, you know, it's been heavily levered. People not owning the underlying. And I think that the risks are that you might have greater calls to delever. And if that eventually transpires, I think that, you know, is almost just as a big impact as far as a taper tantrum. I think that it's going to be important to see how this unfolds. Right now, just in today's moves, it seems like this is a one-off event. This is not systemic. This does not end the bull cycle. I think that, it exemplifies that if you're a hedge fund and you have poor risk management, watch out. I think that, you know, you're going to start to see some of your prime brokers really tighten the screws on you. And I think that the concern on Wall Street is that you're going to have some uncertainty as far as whether or not, you know, you're going to have a tougher trading conditions because of this. So I think this is an early story. I think we're going to have to wait and see if there's another example if we have another wave of block trades that are coming out. But, right now it seems like it's a one-off event. And I think that investors, though, will be cautious and, closely tracking, you know, hedge funds, how they do. And I think that's going to be very key over these next few months.
Now, Ed, what about the broad markets, though? Because as much liquidity as we saw at the tail end of last week and all these block trades coming out, on Friday, we actually saw the NASDAQ close up on the day. And even heading into today, all the stories I was reading was saying, be ready for some volatility starting off this week. This is going to be kind of a crazy week. And the markets generally are digesting this pretty well. What does that tell you about broad liquidity for the overall markets, even though a couple of these guys got squeezed?
I think one of the things over the weekend, I spoke to a few traders. It's more of my college and high school friends that that we talk, and some of them were extremely active on Friday. they were just excited at this opportunity to buy on any weakness, and I think that what we're starting to see is that the Fed, the Fed's actions and the expectations of more stimulus from the Biden administration really is eventually it's going to have unintended consequences. But right now, it's providing a very strong bullish backdrop for many traders, and I think that you're probably going to see that there's some companies that over the last several months have tripled, quadrupled, and their shares are trading as if they're already on the other side of COVID, and they're actually seeing the results of the reopening of the economy. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to have investors become a little bit more selective. I think the rest of the year valuations, I think you're going to see a much more digging into the details of these companies, and for I think many people right now, I think there's a lot of optimism still for the U.S. economy. I think Asia is still viewed as very positive. I think that China is still likely to lead the growth story, I think, over these next few years, several years. And investors want their exposure. So I think that you're going to probably see that there is going to be, I think, more volatility. But, for the most part, I think a lot of investors are still looking to buy on any major pullback that we see. And right now, I think that, this week we have Biden, he's going to announce his multi-trillion infrastructure spending goal. And I think that we're really seeing that the economy is just going to run hot. That is something that I think a lot of people are firmly convinced on. And I think that it's hard to, I think we're still early in this bull cycle, and it's just you really can't be bearish U.S. equities right now. I think yes, the valuations, yes, they're growing risks, but right now I think we're still likely to head higher. I think it's going to be a choppy move. I don't think it's going to be anything like we saw over these past several months, but I think that investors are looking to get back in, and believe it or not, there's still a lot of money on the sidelines that has missed out on a lot of this move. So I think you're going to still see that there is going to be a lot more new interest that's still going to come into the markets as well.
Ed, can you elaborate on that comment regarding still a lot of money on the sidelines? What is telling you this? Where are you looking to judge just how much money is still, I guess, waiting to come into the markets or has missed a lot of this move?
I think there's a good amount of the casual trader that missed the majority of this move. I think that there was this kind of belief that the COVID pandemic was going to really keep equities under pressure for a sustained period. And I think there was just this hard belief that we could see stocks already trade ahead of the reopening of the economy. When you take a look at how stimulus checks have been applied or how most of it went into savings, yes, a lot of the Reddit army crew put their money right to work, but a lot of the country didn't. And I think that you're probably going to see that there is a lot of skepticism still regarding the stock market. And I think that you're probably going to see that the interest, I think, to get back in once the economy is reopened, I think you're going to see that fulfill the belief for many, many traders. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, those guys that are late to the game will miss the majority of the move. But I think it's still an opportune time to be bullish U.S. equities. I think that you're still going to see steady inflows as the economy reopens. And unfortunately, though, that, you know, will probably eventually lead to the Fed's taper tantrum, which, you know, could be at any point late this year, or I think as probably more likely sometime in the early part of next.
Okay. Let's switch focus a little bit. Let's talk about cryptocurrencies, because more news coming out that is bullish cryptos broadly. That is Visa signaling that they will start to settle transactions in USD coin. Now, this is not a Bitcoin, but there is a connection to Ethereum here. Ed, can you explain this nuance in terms of the coin that Visa is using and how this does broadly move cryptos even further into the whole use case?
Well, I think this is a game changer for many, crypto followers. I think that we've had some adoption with Square and PayPal, but I think Visa, that basically opens the door for all the other major credit cards. So MasterCard is going to have the pressure on to have a similar product. And then I think you're going to have all the other credit cards follow suit. So I think that, you know, the switching to digital currencies is happening. It's happening probably a lot quicker than many people anticipated, and this is very positive for Ethereum. I think that, you know, the whole crypto space, the majority of it is up on this news, and I think what you're probably going to see is that you know, Bitcoin still remains the favorite trade for many store value holders. I think that you're going to have that argument that Bitcoin is really going to outperform because of that finite supply, and I think that argument is kind of the foundation for many of these long term bets that are still getting piled into. I think that the belief is that for Bitcoin, you hold on to it for a few years, and that's when you'll start to want to, you know, take your profits. I think that Bitcoin still has a tremendous upside opportunity in the short term and medium term, but I think eventually regulatory scrutiny is going to grow. I think that you're going to see that as the ECB comes out with their digital coin, the Fed will be, you know, shortly after them. There's going to be some restrictions that are going to be made for all digital and traditional currencies, and I think that is going to be very disruptive for the outlook for Bitcoin. But right now, those regulatory fears are, you know, and it seems like they're in the distant future. And I think that you're going to see that a lot of companies, Visa, you know, going with a stable coin, which is backed by the dollar. You're going to have other coins like that are going to go off the euro or the Chinese yuan. And I think those, it will be interesting to see exactly how successful they are, because I think one of the big concerns is that they might not necessarily be, that will in the short term be very positive for Bitcoin and Ethereum. But in the end, I think that eventually you probably will need to see some stable coins become heavily used and accepted. That, you know, will eventually kind of make this a much more interesting battle. But right now, it seems like Ethereum and Bitcoin are kind of, they got the green light again to kind of make that path to uncharted territory. But Bitcoin still, you know, there are ways from there. But I think the optimism is growing. I think as more large financial institutions kind of go the crypto route, it's just very positive for the entire space.
It really is. Overall, this use case for cryptocurrencies is still broadly bringing all the cryptocurrencies higher, most of the cryptocurrencies higher, but it is going to be maybe soon more about selecting which cryptocurrency actually does stand out here. Ed, let's wrap it up with a quick note on the precious metals, gold, even commodities broadly. You always write about gold in your daily note, but gold's under pressure today. Commodities broadly are under pressure today. The U.S. dollar is continuing its move higher, but it's only up marginally. Overall, though, this is just, again, showing the lack of fear for traders in the market. What's your comments on gold that earlier today was testing out close to 1700?
Yeah, I think gold is right now, it's a complicated trade. I think that gold was declining as, you saw a lot of concerned investors, they just ran into the dollar. I think that there is belief that the rise in treasury yields is weighing on gold. There's this concern that we're seeing a lot of emerging market currency pain. And emerging market central banks are the ones that are expected to kind of lead the charge in gold purchases. And right now, I think sagging, commodity prices is really weighing on EM. And I think that, that's why we're seeing, massive losses with the Turkish lira, the Polish zloty, even the Romanian leu is down significantly. And I think what we're probably going to see is that, gold will not get its groove back until we really see the dollar kind of finish this rather strong 2021 beginning. I think that there is a lot of optimism that the rest of the world will eventually be more optimistic. But right now, global COVID cases are continuing to rise. We're even seeing an uptick here in the U.S., Europe does not have their vaccine rollout in place. Emerging markets, if we were to, talk about India, Brazil, the situation is rather sad. And I think that until there's a little bit more optimism on the COVID front for emerging markets in Europe, right now it just seems like the dollar has a permanent bid in place. And, this is happening despite all of the Fed's actions and, promise of more stimulus from the Biden administration, which, kind of has an easy trajectory for the money supply for the U.S. And I think that eventually you're going to see that, once the rest of the world becomes a little bit more optimistic, that's probably going to be the environment where gold will start to really, bounce back. But right now it just seems that, gold is just kind of being hated on by a lot of people on Wall Street. And I think that you're probably going to see that the bottom should be coming in place. But I think that, a lot will depend on how long this dollar move continues. And I think if treasury yields kind of skyrocket, I think that is very concerning to the outlook for the dollar. So right now, the dollar could have another, massive move. And if that's the case, then, watch out. There could be further gold pain in the short term.
Yeah, it sounds like still just a lot of headwinds for gold. And to your point, I don't know how hated gold is. It's just really ignored right now. And there's just no impetus for investors to rush into gold when we are seeing markets and many other sectors continue to get money. And again, just fear doesn't seem to be on a whole lot of traders' minds, even after all these block trades that came out at the tail end of last week. Ed, great chatting with you. We're going to wrap it up here, but I will be chatting with you again next week. And this week, let's keep an eye on what Biden's infrastructure plan is going to be. Maybe that could provide at least a little bit of a boost to underlying commodities. Maybe not so much precious metals, but who knows? We'll see how this week plays out. Ed, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, you too, Corey.